Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, October 27th, 2014. If you followed my Facebook page, you know I'm freshly back from a weekend getaway for Parents Weekend at MIT. But we have a special guest in the studio, Gabe Walden with Loving Shepherd Ministries. Jason, you have the honors.
Hey, thanks, Mark, for this opportunity to be able to introduce to the Great News Radio listeners a friend of mine, somebody who I met a number of months ago. I came to actually speak at the Muhammad Ministerial about a ministry that he's involved in called Loving Shepherd Ministries, and I was unable to make that meeting. So I gave Gabe Walder a call and said, Gabe, I'd love to get together with you. Love to hear your heart and hear what's happening in this ministry. Actually, his wife was my son's second grade teacher. And so,
not just any old teacher, a favorite teacher.
It was his favorite teacher. And so through that, it was really an interesting story, actually, and take just a minute to say it. But we had been praying prior to second grade just that God would give Jacob the right teachers, for all of our kids, that God would give the right teachers. We know as school continues to become more and more secularized, that there would be teachers who would not impose themselves in such a way that would hinder his faith. And so I remember that we got this letter from his new second grade teacher in the mail prior to school starting, and we opened it up, and I came in the room. My wife was crying, and I said, Tasha, what's wrong? And she said, this is the letter from Jacob's new teacher. And I said, really? I said, well, let me see it. And she said, read, I think it was number 3 or something, or number 2 or something on there, but it said, I read my Bible every day. And I just said, oh, praise God, because it was somebody. And so throughout the course of the whole year, Gabe's wife, Lindsay, never, ever kind of squashed that journey of faith for Jacob, but always watered it, whether he was doing artwork or he wanted to write something and he wanted to do that in terms of it really celebrating what God has done and what God continues to do in his life. And so we just praised God for her. And so when I got an opportunity to meet Gabe, I said, well, yeah, I want to see who the man behind this, because we always marry up. So I want to see where Lindsay landed on this one. And so I sat down with him, and you know, I always tell people that when we go and we support ministries, that we have to be careful not to support the ministry first, but always the man who comes to work within the ministry. And so just in the short time that I spent with Gabe for about an hour, and we talked about Loving Shepherd Ministry and just some of his story and how he arrived at this place, and watched him shed some tears as he shared some things that are just happening within the ministry, I said, this is a man who will stay up late at night. He'll get up early in the morning, he'll ply his hands to this thing, and he won't give up until he sees something change. And for me, I said, that's a ministry that we've got to get on the hilltop and begin to shout out. So obviously, one of the big hilltops we know is Great News Radio. So we got up on top of the hill, and here we are. We're shouting it out. So I just want to introduce to everybody my friend Gabe.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Now, Gabe, I know you live currently in Urbana, grew up in Muhammad. You attended the U of I in International Studies. That's where you got your bachelor. I think you went on to receive your master's in global politics at Illinois State. You've been married to Lindsay for 3 years. I know you have a foster son, Martel.
Yep.
I think you're in the process of adopting.
Yeah, it's kind of a long process, and it might be a number of months, but that's the hope. So,
and you attend Christ Community Church in Champaign. Mm-hmm. You're currently working out of the Urbana area, but the headquarters of Loving Shepherd Ministries is in Fort Wayne. So a little shout out for our Indiana listeners.
Yep.
And so I think over the course of the next maybe 20 or 40 or so minutes, we want to get a bird's eye view into your life, your testimony, ministry work, coming to Christ, and meeting up with Lindsay. So where do you want to start?
Yeah, honestly, it's been a pretty long journey, not only personally, but also just through my profession as well. I think you could really start back when I was in Muhammad attending high school. I never had a really good attitude when it came to my faith and even attending church. Oftentimes I was rebellious, but God definitely had his place in my life and in my heart, and he continued to mold me even during those times of rebellion. Specifically, I always had a heart for overseas missions and international work. And even during that time of rebellion, I had gone overseas on a number of trips. I'd gone to Honduras multiple times. I was able to go to Australia and Samoa and even go to France. And every time I would go there overseas, even though I would initially kind of choose to go maybe for selfish reasons of, hey, I want to see a new culture. I want to experience something beyond what I have in small Muhammad, Illinois. God would still, despite a bad attitude, sort of place things on my heart. And he'd find specific people in those contexts that would kind of minister to me. And even I remember specifically someone in France that I met with, he could see the rebellious nature in me even during that time, and he really ministered to me and made me feel kind of convicted of, hey, why are you here? What are you doing? What is God doing in your heart? And so I always had that sort of notion of wanting to do something internationally. My parents always really emphasized trying to get beyond our own culture. So a combination of their influence as well as being able to go overseas caused me to decide to do a bachelor's in international studies. Now, I initially didn't want to go to the U of I because my family went there, and I said, hey, again with the rebellion, I wanted to go somewhere else. And so I actually went to UIC in Chicago. And that honestly was a pretty rough semester for me. You know, just made some bad decisions. My friends were not good influences and kind of hit a brick wall. And so I decided to come back to the area, and I had a friend who had always been very consistent in my life during that time. And he said, hey, Gabe, I know you're thinking about coming back. We have this house. There's 15 other guys that live here, Christian guys, and we'd invite you to come live here, you know, as you kind of decide to move forward. So I ended up coming back, going to Parkland for a year and a half, and then decided to do a bachelor's in international studies at U of I. I mean, I'd say during my junior, especially my junior year, was when I really decided to kind of dedicate myself to Christ and to use my profession, you know, global kind of outlook for His glory. So
during that time, I mean, you hit a brick wall. What does that brick wall mean? I mean, because for all of us, and I think the interesting thing is when we say that brick wall, there's somebody out there who knows what that brick wall is. I mean, when you mention it, I mean, we so often we think that, boy, that's something that only happens to me. And yet when we say that, so sometimes I think it's great for people to hear that because God is doing something in, I think, everybody's heart. So what did that brick wall look like?
For me, that brick wall really looked like an extreme doubt of what my faith was or if there was a God, to the point where finally I realized that I kind of came to a brick wall in two different forms. One, I wasn't sure if there was a God. I wasn't sure if this was the right thing. I wasn't sure if I was a Christian or I just inherited it from my family. But I also realized there isn't another alternative for me, you know, with, you know, going out and partying and doing these types of things. Hey, this isn't satisfying to me. It doesn't give me comfort. It doesn't give me any sort of consistency in my life. And so that's the brick wall was, one, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. I'm not sure if there's a God. But the alternative doesn't seem to be anything either. So now I'm not left with either. And so that really made me re-examine, you know, what am I going to put my faith in? What is my life going to be about if I'm questioning what I've always held to, but I don't have anything else to cling to? And so that's where I really hit a crossroads and sort of a crisis point.
Mm. Jason, I'm thinking you deal with many people, especially being a pastor and a counselor, but for that person that's maybe identifying with what Gabe has to say about his life, they've grown up with a rebellious heart, they don't like authority figures, they've maybe even in the church seen people abuse their roles of oversight, or they've been battered or hurt, or they just don't get the concept of why even go to church, or why even follow after this Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What would be something that you would say to them? Because they're in a rebellion, as we all are. I mean, our propensity is to sin, is to reject authority, to reject someone sovereign over us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think, honestly, I think Gabe really is telling us what the answer is. And the answer is that we'll chase after things. I mean, naturally, the inclination of our heart is that we want to be happy. We want to find a sense of stability and joy in things. And we will chase after something. It's not if we'll chase after something. It's when and what will that thing be that we're chasing after. And I think that Gabe really hit the nail on the head, is that we'll find things that will seem to give us a sense of joy in the moment. But the aftertaste of those things are always guilt and shame. They always come back. They don't deliver what they say that they promise they're going to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, Jesus is the only thing that delivers exactly what He promises. I mean, Jesus is the only one where you can get cancer. And I don't ever want anybody to take this in a trite manner, but Jesus is the only one where you can lose a loved one, you can get cancer. These things can happen, and you can sit down and be in the depth of sorrow and weeping and still have a joy in the fact that the Lord's presence is with you. Mm-hmm. You know, that transcends anything else that I know. And you know, I didn't come to Christ until I was in my early 30s. And so I spent 30 years chasing after all kinds of things and reaping and heaping upon myself, you know, shame and guilt. And ultimately finding that Jesus is better than all those things.
Yeah. So, Gabe, what was the breakthrough? I mean, you had your family, you had the church, you had Christians pouring into you, but when was that point of contact? Sure. Okay, Lord, I'm going to surrender all. I've experienced your grace, your mercy, your love, but I'm getting it now. I know you're real.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I didn't have a specific, hey, you know, it's 3 a.m. on a Tuesday and I had this breaking point. Some people have that, which is definitely legitimate, but that's not what happened to me. I'd say it was really a series of events that sort of turned my heart. You know, I had that foundation, so I understood the gospel and things of that nature. But I'd say the process, if I had to put it in a summary, was when I really finally was able to distinguish between that rebellion maybe was rooted in some valid concerns about Christianity. I'd see it demonstrated in negative ways, or maybe I'd see people abusing our faith, and I would tie, okay, if God and Jesus is being represented through these people, then I don't want to have anything to do with God and Jesus because I don't want to have anything to do with these people. And finally, I was able to distinguish those things sort of through my own faith walk of actually going to the scriptures for myself and saying, hey, the Jesus who they're supposedly representing, it has nothing to do with what they're doing. And finally, I was able to say, maybe the church is broken, which it is, and maybe some of the people that have hurt me in the past are saying that they represent Christ, but Christ himself is not that. Christ is a source of healing. Christ is a source of comfort. So I'd say when I was able to finally distinguish between those things and see that Jesus, the core of Jesus, was something that I was longing for and that I needed, and I was mixing those things up, if that makes sense. And it was individuals, you know, I had individuals that were in that house that I lived in that were very consistent with me, even when I'd be rebellious and go out drinking or whatever it happens to be. They would just constantly show love to me. They wouldn't judge me. And then obviously I would be mistaken to not mention my wife, my now wife, Lynn, but she was a good friend to me for a couple of years before we even started dating, and she was one of those very consistent friends that loved me through that. She would challenge me. She would constantly point me to Christ. And so when I had those individuals that were showing me the genuine Jesus to me, that's what really won me over, I'd say.
So tell us about how that works, because I'm intrigued, because I know that before I really surrendered everything to Jesus, and it was really funny because after 2 years after having done that, I was sitting down and my wife and I were having coffee at a Starbucks, and she just started crying, and I said, what's wrong? She goes, I just can't believe what Jesus is doing. And she goes, you know, I prayed for 5 years for that.
Sure.
And so I'd love to hear how your wife now, Lindsay, but then, you know, just friend, and you guys moved into dating, how that kind of worked in that relationship. Because, boy, you can't get in the room with Lindsay for more than 5 minutes and realize she loves Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, it even makes me think just now, I mean, that journey obviously is not over. And Lindsay, now today, she's continually pushing me beyond just, okay, you're a believer and you're surrendered, but what is Jesus really calling you to do, and what sins is he calling you to combat? I mean, I was just thinking of an argument we had just a few days ago where I said,
you guys argue?
Well, Jason, I think it's been years for you and I, right?
if a day is like 1,000 years, sure. I think we just had one this morning.
Well, in that argument, I realized that I was really the one in the wrong. And
hey, come on. Wait. Hey. Men aren't supposed to admit to that. No, you're raising the bar on us now.
Exactly. But in the end, I realized what she was calling me to do, and the reason why we were having that argument was that she isn't satisfied with me just being passive as a Christian, and she's not satisfied with me just being nominally Christian. She pushes me to be a great man, and that's what I said to her. I said, I realize sometimes you're pushing me and you're challenging me in ways that I often am defensive to, and my gut instinct, my sinful nature is to say, hey, whoa, what are you trying to do? I'm doing pretty good. Why do you have to push me in these ways? And then when I finally kind of stepped back, I realized she's the perfect woman for me. And Jesus put her in my life for a specific reason, to make me not just a good man, but a great man after Jesus' heart. And so I'd say that even through our dating relationship, she was very bold. I mean, I'd be, you know, maybe dating a girl pretty unintentionally, this and that. And even as a friend, she'd say, hey, what are you doing? What are your intentions with her? Are you just, you know, kind of, just pulling her one way or another, but you're not being clear and godly. And I'd say, wow, like, who is this girl, you know? But she's been very consistent in challenging me through our whole relationship.
Yeah, I just heard something interesting that it really helped to clarify this for me, because I hear what you're saying, and I think in a good complementarian relationship, where we're in a relationship where we complement each other, that the woman really helps to spur the man on towards what God has called him to do. But in this talk that I heard, this gentleman was saying that we can't let men off simply on the premise that they're being passive. Mm-hmm. He said, we keep doing it. We keep saying, well, that guy, he's just passive. He's not passive, he said. He's in rebellion to God's calling on his life.
Sure.
And for me, I thought that you just actually said that, and I loved it, because I thought that is so true. Because the times when I'm exerting passivity, I'm actually in rebellion to the things that God actually wants mm-hmm. me to do, which is to love my wife intentionally, to lead my family with a perseverance mm-hmm. and a strength. So I appreciate that you say that, because I think it's important for men to hear that. And for men to hear the admission, we joked about you guys had a fight, but I think it's good for people to hear that. Because I've counseled some Christian folks who say, well, you know, we don't argue because we just don't think it's Christ-like to argue. And I'm like, well, how do you get through anything?
Yeah. And we talked about this, I think it was like a week or a week and a half ago, about the tendency that men not only will be passive, but they'll acquiesce that leadership, that role of taking the initiative. Mm. And thank you, God, for Lindsay, that has been not only a support to you, but a catalyst to move you forward.
Sure.
Not to bring maybe condemnation, to create. Creatively encourage you to step up and be a man. And I think that was maybe a couple of weeks ago on that Wednesday program where we talked about men needing to step up.
So you got this woman who's driving you crazy because she's calling you out on everything, and she's just a friend. So how does this move from being a friend to where you're going, you know what? Like, I really think I need this kind of crazy in my life from now on.
Well, she never really drove me crazy, actually. But really, when she did those things, you know, obviously I stated that she would ask me those things and push me in those ways, but she had built a foundation of friendship with me, and she'd really shown me that she was somebody I could trust and that I cared about, and so she was able to build that foundation, and she knew that I trusted her, and that's when she would be able to challenge me, mm-hmm. and I would be able to receive that well, because this isn't just somebody, she was a Christian that I had a respect for, I knew was genuine, and so when she would challenge me, I knew it wasn't somebody just coming in and being judgmental. This was somebody I cared about, that I had a history with, that I knew really was trying to challenge me because she wanted the best for me. And so she had kind of been that presence in my life for a number of years, and I ended up going to Canada for about, I guess it was a 7-week backpacking trip with some Christian guys. And during that trip, sort of some of the themes of that was, hey, you know, like you said, we need to step up as men, and you shouldn't, especially with our relationships with women, you should be seeking a wife that is godly. That's the most important characteristic that you can have in a potential partner. And, you know, Lindsay, of course, came to my mind right away. And I'd always thought she was pretty, and I always thought she was great, but I had just, you know, kind of put her off not as a potential partner because she was such a strong, you know, godly woman, and I was sort of not a strong, godly man. So I said, you know, this wouldn't be a great pair. But when I finally started realizing, hey, this is what I want for not only for myself, but this is what I need in a potential long-term spouse, Lindsay, you know, immediately came to my mind as someone I would want to spend the rest of my life with, potentially.
So you just painted us a picture of who she is and who you are. So now you come back from the backpacking trip and you're like, hey, I think you have potential. How does she deal with this when you come back?
Well, I think there had already, you know, been some chemistry between us even during those 2 years of friendship, despite maybe the differences. And I think maybe in some ways that was something that she had been hoping for. I don't know that she had necessarily completely thought out the idea of, hey, Gabe could potentially be someone that I would date. But I think when I came back and she already, you know, she knew she liked my personality and enjoyed spending time with me, and then all of a sudden I became someone where she said, hey, this could be someone that I could genuinely, you know, spend my life with because he's starting to get his stuff together, as it was, you know, all of a sudden there was more potential there for a relationship. So, you know, I kind of expressed sort of some of the changes that were going on in my life and said, hey, and again, going along with the theme, I didn't turn things around right away. I was pretty unintentional even for that initial date, sort of, hey, do you want to hang out kind of thing. And again, she pushed back on that, and, you know, she wanted to know, hey, you know, what's the purpose here? And that sort of transitioned into a first date.
And you're 20, 21 at the time, 21, 22 at this time?
Yeah, that would have been my junior year, so yeah, like 20, 21 or 22, yeah.
Well, Gabe, I know there's so much more to the story because we want to talk some specifics about Loving Shepherd Ministries and the work that this ministry is doing in Haiti and Ethiopia, the work in the United States with the adoption resources and getting some of these children out of the slavery, domestic slavery, and the prostitution that's going on in Ethiopia, and your calling and the special work. So how about giving our listeners some information on how they can get in touch with Loving Shepherd Ministries? And we'll have you back for tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, and we'll talk some more about the specifics of the ministry, your hopes and desires for our Great News Radio listeners, how they can get involved.
Yeah, so Loving Shepherd Ministries, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, is based in Fort Wayne, Indiana, but now I'm actually stationed in Urbana, so we're a local ministry in that sense. And since we're pretty new to this area, my first number one goal is for people to start to recognize the name Loving Shepherd Ministries and understand what it is that we do. So we work in three specific areas. One is the United States. So we're not an adoption agency, but we provide third-party, free, and unbiased adoption resources. So we've helped over 6,000 people adopt, and that's domestic, international, foster to adopt, and we even do special needs and embryo adoption. So that's one thing that we provide as an agency. You can find out more at www.loving-shepherd.org. You can also email me at gabriel@loving-shepherd.org. We work in the United States with adoption resources. In Haiti, we work to get children out of domestic slavery, and in Ethiopia, we have a program to get women and children out of prostitution and into alternative vocations.
Okay, so the website, loving-shepherd.org.
Yep.
Loving-shepherd.org. Or they can call you at 217-714-5578.
Yep.
217-714-5578. In the studio with us is Gabe Walder. He'll return for tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, and we can find out more of how God is working in and through Gabe and Lindsay as they have a passion for children, for youth, for helping people with adoptions, and helping in Haiti and Ethiopia. So tune in tomorrow, and you can hear more about Loving Shepherd Ministries. Well, thanks, Gabe, for being available. Thank you, co-host Pastor Jason, for this special edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you.
We'll have you back tomorrow, and we'll talk some more. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and Gabe Walder with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.